everybody. Morning. How are you all? Everybody good? Sweet. All right. Hey, this wobbles a little bit. It's cool. I won't knock it over. It'll be fine. Well, hey, if I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Philip, and I serve with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. I am a Harvest Field team leader. That's just a fancy way of saying that I am a regional guy for the state of Tennessee. And here's my area. I get this cool job, okay? Here's my area. My area goes from border to border, so I got all the way up to Scott County and all the way down to Sevier County. That's the border of Tennessee to the border of Tennessee. And then I go from Buc-ee's to Buc-ee's. Everyone always laughs at the Buc-ee's to Buc-ee's comment, and some days I go from Buc-ee's to Buc-ee's to Buc-ee's back and forth, and that means that my office is in my car, and I'm on I-40, usually in traffic a lot, but it is awesome because what I get to do is I get to go and I get to serve with pastors and leaders in churches, and then also with associational missionaries or directors of missions. I know that Keith's been here several times, and I get to work with them, and here's what I get to do. I get to listen into them, and I get to go, hey, what is God asking of your congregation, of you as a pastor, of you as a leader? What is he asking of you for the future of kingdom expansion in your area? And then I get to listen, and I get to dream big dreams with these guys, and then I get to go, cool, and I get to ask this really fun question: how can we come alongside and help you? And so if there's any way that we can do that, we are willing to do so as Tennessee Baptist. We love. There are three things that we're focused on right now. But before I talk about them, I'd just like to give you a little real quick. Oh, there's a little light. That's fun. Cool. Sorry, I get distracted, and it's okay. It's fine. I will keep in my time frame. I will try my very best. But I grew up here in East Tennessee, grew up right over the hill there in Oliver Springs, and my dad pastored at Beach Park Baptist Church, just right there on the main drag in the old location, okay? So not the new location, the old location. So I grew up here in East Tennessee, went to West Tennessee to Union University. It's kind of like Carson Newman, just in West Tennessee. And then met my wife there. We went down, got called to ministry early on in life, but then went down to New Orleans Seminary. We survived a tornado at Union and then went to New Orleans, and there was this little thing called Hurricane Katrina came through. And so we're like, we're done with this. We're out of here. And so the Lord had called us to serve overseas, and so we served overseas with the International Mission Board for 10 years in the Middle East. And so we're like, what could happen there? And so then there was a, right? Thank you. And so there's one country that I won't say because we're live streaming, but I can't ever go back there again. They kind of told me, don't ever come back again kind of deal. And so I moved back to the States after 10 years serving overseas. And the only thing that didn't make sense to me was to pastor a normative-sized church in East Tennessee, but we were really praying for green mountains. And the first place I interviewed was in Southern California, and those aren't green. Okay, and there's no rain there, okay, that's brown. But anyway, that didn't work out, praise the Lord. And so pastored here in East Tennessee for the past 8 years, and it has been a joy. And so I've been in this position now for about a year now, and I'm still learning things. And so three main things that we're doing with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board right now is we're focusing on gospel leaders. And that means if there is a leader in place, we want to help equip them. We want to help them in their spiritual wellness, their physical wellness, their emotional wellness, all those things to help them be the best leader they can. We also have a problem, and that problem is, and I talk really fast, and I know it, and I'm going to slow down. I know, yeah, I got some head nods. I know. Okay. But we have a problem, and that problem is that over 400 Baptist churches in Tennessee are without pastors right now. And so we have a problem. And so when we look back behind us to the next generation to see who's back there, there's not a lot there. And so we're focusing on preparing churches to equip leaders. We have this pipeline process that we're looking at to help equip and not only equip leaders for your own churches, but also not to necessarily keep them, but to also send them out and give them away and share them to other congregations. We're also focusing on evangelistic disciples. And so that's just evangelism and what? Discipleship. Yeah, it's not rocket science. I promise. If I kind of go like this to a question, it's a softball. Okay, I won't trick you up and actually ask you to like explain Greek to me, because I can't do that either. So, and then the last one is with healthy churches, and so we are trying to help churches that are not so healthy to be healthy, and then we're also planting new churches all the time. Really exciting thing. A mile from University of Tennessee campus, in August and September, there were six new church plants started. And so we like that, okay? Because healthy churches are, healthy new churches usually are more evangelistic than others. And so that's kind of what we're doing. And we would love to, if you want to talk about any of that, I'll be around. I know there's a quick transition, but I'll be around if you have any questions about that. And so if you have your Bibles, and I really hope that you do, open them up, turn them on, whatever, to Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to be hanging out this morning. Matthew chapter 9. We know a couple things that Jesus teaches us to do. Often in the scriptures, one of the things he teaches the disciples to do is to pray. That's an important thing for us to do as followers of him because he actually taught us. There's really cool. Jesus told the disciples to go do a whole bunch of stuff, and he never really asked, like that. They never really asked him, well, how do we do that, right? They only did that one time, and that's when they said, hey, Jesus, will you teach us how to what? Pray. Okay, that's really interesting. And then he gave them an example, a model of how to do that. We see that in Scripture. But in chapter 9, we're going to kind of fast forward almost to the end of chapter 9. Some really cool things happen there. We see this introduction of Matthew. He's called to follow Jesus. That's a big deal. And in following, he goes to do that. Now, at the very end, as we get closer to the end of this chapter, starting, and that's chapter 9, and starting in chapter 10, Jesus is going to send them out. He's going to send the disciples out. That's a big deal all throughout the Gospels, but before he does that, he does something really cool, and that's what we're going to look at in the end here of chapter 9. So Jesus is going around, and he's doing his thing, which is awesome. He's preaching and teaching. He's telling people about the good news. He's healing people, and as that happens, there's this thing that forms, as you can imagine, if they were preaching and teaching in a way that was never done before, and then he was healing people, which had never been done like that before, there was a what formed? A huge what? Crowd of people, right? And so as this huge crowd of people formed, he turned around and he looked at them and something happened. It says that he turned around and he looked at them and he had what for them? Compassion for them. Why did he have the text actually tells us why he had compassion for them. Because they were distressed and dejected. They were like sheep without a shepherd. That word distressed and dejected, it almost means like they were being cut. Okay. Some translations, if you go back far enough, they'll even kind of go, they're being filleted. Okay, that means it was bad, right? Yes, that's right. Okay, cool. You're with me. All right, good. All right. So they were distressed and dejected. So because they were sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. Now remember, he's getting ready to do what? He's getting ready to send out the disciples. Have y'all ever been to something where you're preparing to send someone out? We have phrases for these. They're called commissionings, right? Have y'all ever been to a commissioning? Like when we're preparing to send missionaries overseas, we have a service in which we commission them. If regiments of the military, when they get deployed, they actually have a commissioning service to prepare for them to be sent out. And so what's happening in this moment, kind of just to kind of paint the picture broadly, is this is what's going on. He's getting ready to commission to prepare to send the disciples out. And he's going to tell them to do something as a result of seeing the crowd and having compassion on them. And we're going to dive in and see what that is here in just one second. But we know that as followers of Jesus, we are to pray about the kingdom. All right, before we send people, we're to pray for them. Well, what do we pray for? And that's the question that we're going to try to answer in the short time that we have together. What do we pray for? And I think we're going to see two things this morning. But first, we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive in and see what these two verses tell us. Y'all ready? Let's pray. God, you're awesome and amazing, and we love you, and we worship you. God, we do confess, even in our own lives, when there's hesitation in praying for people to be sent. God, we confess that, meaning we confess it, but also we turn from it, we repent of it, and turn away from it, and turn to what you have for us. God, we're so thankful that you sent your one and only to this earth to live the life that we couldn't live, to die the death that we deserved, and he paid the price for our sins. God, we're thankful for that. And God, now we ask that you help us. Help us to pray as you have instructed us. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. All right, so what do we pray for? Number one, we're going to see two things this morning. The first thing we're going to see is we pray for the great harvest. All right, we pray for the great harvest. Let's look at verse 37. Let's see what it says. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are what? Few. All right. The harvest is abundant. The harvest is great. The harvest is massive, but the workers are Few. All right. So we see this as he's talking to the disciples. He leans to them, and these are followers. That's us. All right. Jesus, remember, is about to send them out, and so he leans in and kind of tells them something about the harvest that they're getting ready to go to. Right? Y'all with me on this? Okay, so what happens is he tells them, hey, there is a harvest, which, by the way, if you're getting ready to send me out into the fields and you tell me there's a harvest, that's a good thing. All right, the disciples are probably being what? They're excited, right? That the harvest is what? That's right, it's abundant, it's plentiful, it's great, right? That's exciting. They would be excited in this moment. The disciples would be kind of fired up, if you will, right? They're getting excited, like kind of like, maybe not. Hype videos, if you ever seen a hype video or the videos that they play right before the UT game, get everybody excited, kind of, right? All right, that's where they are, okay? They're at the excited point. They're acting a little bit like me, and they probably had just a little bit too much coffee. Not too much, but close, okay? And so they're really excited in this moment because there is a harvest, and it is what? It's plentiful, right? It's massive. It's great. That's right. And then we've got a however, okay? My translation has a but, comma. What does it say? But the workers are what? Few. So really hyped up, exciting, but the workers are not that many. We get a statement here that we see, and that's discouraging for some of us. Right? The harvest is amazing. The harvest is abundant. The harvest is plentiful. But the workers are, there's not that many of them. Now, sometimes you might feel that way. Well, Phil, I hear what you're saying. That the text says that the harvest is great. But man, I just don't see it. We're in a season of life where we're not necessarily seeing an abundant harvest. Well, where do we see it, Phil? Well, real quick, I'm going to just point you. We're not going to go there, okay? But I'm going to point you because there's this little tiny passage in Revelation, okay? Right? Not Revelations, okay, but the Revelation, okay? And it's in chapter 7, and it says something really awesome about... Do we need to go there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You do? Okay, well, let's go there real quick. We'll go there. Okay, Revelation 7, all right? Verse 9 says this, "After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and with palm branches, yeah, in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Go back to that first little part. "And there was a vast multitude." We call that a big what? That's a big harvest, isn't it? Okay, if you don't see it in the book of Revelation, it's there, okay? It is absolutely there. Now, I don't know if you've been there before that I just described where you just don't necessarily see it. When we served in the Middle East, we had access to our apartment roof. And so we get to go up on the roof all the time, and you had this massive, awesome look of the city. And as we're looking out at the city, a fellow missionary was like, "Hey, what do you think? You know, what do you think? What do you think about the harvest looking out?" And just think about it. Millions of people we could see in our span just looking in this direction. And at that time, we only knew of one believer. Okay? Now, what's really exciting is in that moment, I said, I think we're at a 0-1. Okay? Because I only know of one believer. And they're kind of even like on the down low. What we didn't know at that time is that in that area that we could see, there were 20 different house churches that were gathering with believers, and families were baptizing families, and it was incredible. So just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not happening all around you. And we're going to have some instructions on what do we do here in just a second. So first off, we pray for the great harvest, and we got to have compassionate hearts to do that kind of deal, but then we pray for the great harvest. And the second thing that I want us to see this morning in the time that I have left is we pray to the Lord to send workers. We pray to the Lord to send workers. Verse 38, let's finish it up. This is what it says. "Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Now, the first word that we have there in verse 38 is therefore. And every time you see the word therefore, you ask, what's it? Therefore, that's right. That's exactly right. Great job, okay? So what's it there for? So we asked the question. So let's back up just a little bit because we have to ask, what's it there for? And so with compassionate hearts, before sending people out, knowing that the harvest is great, but the workers are few, therefore, because of that, our knowledge of that, what are we to do? And he gives us instructions. What are we to do? It's a four-letter word. Starts with the letter P. What is it? Pray. Right. We're to pray. He gives us instructions to pray. And what's really cool is that we see who, what, and where that we are to pray for. So who do we pray to? Right? It says, the Lord of the harvest. That's right. We pray to the Lord of harvest. That means it's not your harvest. That means it's not my harvest. It's whose? It's his. Okay? It's the Lord's harvest. I love working with people who want to expand God's kingdom. When I encounter people that want to expand their own kingdom, that's not what it tells me to do, right? We want to expand God's kingdom. We want to build his kingdom. And so we pray, first off, who? To the Lord of the harvest for his harvest. What do we pray for? It tells us what to pray for. What do we pray for? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to do what? To send workers, to send laborers. That's what we are commanded to pray. And then we have the why, or the where. Right, where is he sending them? To where? Where is he sending them? To his harvest. That's right. To the great harvest. To share the good news. To share that there is hope. So knowing the harvest is great and the workers are few, we're given instructions to do what? To pray. Hey, you know what? We don't have to build some crazy strategy to do that. We don't have to spend $1,000 to make sure that we're praying. All we have to do is actually pray. Man, when we pray to the king about the kingdom, we pray with compassionate hearts, we pray for the great harvest, and to the Lord to send workers. Every time I think we read God's word, I think it's important for us to walk away with something that we need to know, and something that we need to do. Now, sometimes it's something that you need to stop doing, but that's not the case today, all right? It's something that we need to do, all right? Every time you read God's word, regardless of you're just doing life throughout the week, I think every time we read his word, there's something for us to know, and there's something for us to do. And so if you haven't been tracking any until right now, here we go. We're going to sum it all up with what we need to know and what we need to do. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know. The harvest is his, and it's great, right? The things that we need to know as we get ready here to wrap things up is that it's his harvest, and it's great. We have to trust him for the growth. We have to trust him to bring the increase. We have to trust him in his timing. Anybody else in the room struggling with a little bit of patient stuff? I have three teenage daughters. I have four daughters, but I have three teenage daughters. Two of them are driving. I was going to say driving me something, but I'll just say they're driving, okay? Let's just, they drive cars, okay? Let's leave it right there. Right? The harvest is great. A lot of people have been using this term recently, and I think they're using it a little inappropriately, but they're praying for revival. And what we need to be praying for is to the Lord to do what? Send workers. That's what we need to be praying for, guys. Man, and if revival comes, revival comes, and I'm excited, and I'll be on the train, okay? I'll be there, okay? And I'll be continually praying for him to send workers. What do we need to do? Here's what we need to do. It's not rocket science, okay? I try to keep things as simple as possible, right? If we need to know that it's his harvest, right, and the harvest is great, what do we need to do? There's been one commanding action that's been in these little tiny two verses. What is it? Pray. Right? We need to pray to the Lord with compassionate hearts. We need to pray for the harvest that is great. We need to pray, God, please send them. And at the same time, we need to kind of go, hey, and start with me. And that means our yes has got to be on the table too. That means that we've got to put ourselves in a posture where we're listening and willing to be obedient if that's him sending me as well. Pray to the Lord to send them, but also hear and respond obediently. We're getting ready to transition in a time of response, okay? where maybe there's something that you need to respond, right? Church doesn't really happen unless the Word of God is sang, check. All right, the Word of God is read, we've done that too, check. Where the Word of God is taught, check. And then that you have a chance to respond to what the Lord is doing in your heart at this time. And so what do you need to respond to? Maybe you're struggling with the first part, all right? The part of looking at the crowds and not having any compassion whatsoever. Hey, if that's you, can I just encourage you to go read this really cool book in the Old Testament? It's called the Book of Jonah. I'll let that sink in. You'll giggle later. But if you're like Jonah, who really literally said, no, let those people go to hell. Okay? This is just real quick. This is a chance for you to repent of that, to confess that to him. That is not how he wants followers of Jesus to speak of his image bearers ever, okay? Okay? So if that's not you, all right, well, Phil, are you sure we should be sending people? Absolutely, we should be sending people. Why should we be sending people? Because he tells us to. Because it's all throughout the New Testament. It's all what the church does, and may we be about doing that. So how are you going to remember this? Here we go. I love preaching, but I love how most of the time the sermons are forgot by Tuesday. And so I would like for you to remember this. And so here's how we're going to remember this. Get out your phones. If you don't have your phone with you, that's not a big deal. Write this down. It's going to be really simple. I'm going to give you a time. All right. If you have your phones, it's okay. There's no one moving. Cool. Here, get out your phones. Literally. Come on. Fine. I got mine. That's okay. All right. Got your phones. All right. And open up the alarm. Okay. The alarm. And you're going to set an alarm or write down this time. Ready? You're going to set an alarm for 9:38. 9:38. Now, if you're a morning person, let me encourage you to set that alarm for 9:38 a.m., okay? And if you're a night owl, that's awesome. We love those, too. You can set yours for p.m. High five, okay? I'm usually not, I'm winding down at that point, okay? So I'll take the a.m. side of it, all right? And when that alarm goes, and I would just encourage you to set it every day, all right? Set that alarm every day, 9:38. And when that alarm goes off at 9:38, what are you going to think about? You're going to think about Matthew 9:38, which says what? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Hey, when that alarm goes off at 9:38, which it did right before we came in here on my phone, and I hit the button, here's what I say in that moment. Lord, send them. Send them. You know who they are. God, send them into your great harvest. You know those workers. You know who they are. May they be obedient in this moment to send them. And so I recommend that you do that. And when that alarm goes off, if you want to do the Luke version, you can do 10:02. That's fine. Luke says the same thing in Luke 10:2. That's fine if you want to be creative. Okay. I got some people that really plus to it a little bit, and they from 9:38 to 10:02, they pray for the Lord to send them. And we ask that you do that today. I do want you to know, in a season of Thanksgiving, some things that we're thankful for. I do want you to know that I'm thankful for you. Why? Because we are faith families that have this really cool connection where we pray for each other. And that because we have prayed to the Lord to send out workers, right, that you've actually prayed for me. As I have been sent out to the mission field, as I was a pastor, as I actually really said yes to Jesus when it didn't make any sense to me, right? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you that you will continue to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest, because the harvest is what? Man, it's abundant, it's plentiful, it's great, right? Man, may we be a unified people praying with compassionate hearts to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Let's pray together. God, you're the creator of everything. We love you. God, we do confess when we don't do or we ignore the instructions that you have given us. God, we're super thankful. God, we're super thankful for the cross. We're thankful for grace and forgiveness for when we sin. God, now we ask that you help us. Help us to pray to you about your great harvest. And we do all of this in your name. Amen.